Yhteistyössä Viisas elämä. Matka itseesi alkaa osoitteesta viisaselama.fi.
Hyvää keskiviikkoiltaa, rakkaat kuuntelijat. Tämä on Vaiheessa lähetys. Studiossa Mili Kaikkonen ja tänä iltana puhutaan hengittämisestä. Joku itseäni huomattavasti viisaampi ihminen on sanonut, että meidän pitäisi luottaa elämään samalla tavalla kuin hengitykseen. Sisään- ja uloshengitykset seuraavat toisiaan automaattisesti pakottamatta. Toisaalta tapamme hengittää kertoo meistä ja elämäntilanteestamme paljon enemmän kuin ehkä tulemme ajatelleeksi. Harva muistaa stressantuneena hengittää syvään ja rauhallisesti, mutta kuitenkin hengityksen avulla voi tutkitusti juuri vähentää stressiä, lievittää kipua ja vahvistaa läsnäoloa. Tänään kuulemme Rebirthing-nimisestä hengitysterapiasta, kun vieraanamme on hengitysterapeutti Paolo Da Floresta. Welcome to the studio, Paolo.
Thank you, Millie.
So, would you like to tell us who you are and where you're from and how did you end up doing what you're doing here in Finland?
Oh, thank you. First of all, it's a great honor to be invited to your show. So I'm really happy. First time I've been on the radio. Basically, I'm working with Rebirthing Breathwork as a therapist, and I've been doing this for 4 years. I'm from originally Malta. It's a small island in the Mediterranean Sea, but I grew up in the UK and been traveling around the world for about 20 years now. So I've got it in my blood to be a vagabond, just traveling around, and that's how I got on the spiritual path. It was about 15 years ago. I had the inclination to stop drinking alcohol, and I went out to Thailand to a detoxification center and started to cleanse the body out with fasting, and discovered yoga for the first time and took a training in Reiki. So this was the kind of early stages that led me to rebirthing. And about 10 years ago, I started to train in freediving. So I had this great urge to go under the water and hold my breath and explore. And I started to do a lot of pranayamas, which is the yogi breathwork techniques to prolong my breath holding. So I had a great understanding how the breath can affect the physiology of your body, and your emotional states can have an effect on how long you can hold your breath. So that's kind of what got me into the breath work. And I read a book a few years ago by a guy called Leonard Orr. He became my teacher. And it was called Breaking the Death Habit. And it was about longevity and purifying with the elements, the earth, air, water, and fire. And there was a small chapter on breathing. And I was so curious by this guy. I said, is he still alive? And can I meet this guy? So I Googled him. And I found that he was training. He was a founder of Rebirthing Breathwork in the West. And he was doing trainings. And I went to Spain in 2012 and trained with him.
So I have to respect you for doing the Thailand detox thing. I've heard it's pretty hardcore.
Yeah, actually, you know, it opened so many things in my body. And overnight, basically overnight, I became vegetarian and stopped drinking alcohol. And it wasn't in a plan to become vegetarian, but just being exposed to that level of cleansing and the information that was out there on health or the library and the people I came into contact with, it just seemed like a natural progression. So it was like one of the key events in my life that's just changed for a positive way in my life.
One of the major signposts. I think we can all name a few of those in our lives.
Yeah.
So you discovered Leonard Orr and you started training with him. But what brought you here to Finland?
Now that's another story. I've been using Holland, the Netherlands, as my base for about 15 years. And originally I was out there as an electrician working for some big companies making the electric windmills, you know, for the wind generation. And it wasn't really in my heart to do that kind of work, but I was out there, and always when I was in Holland, it's so flat there. It's a beautiful country, but there's not much nature and there's a high population density. So I had this calling in my heart to go to the forests, and Scandinavia just was pulling me, the midnight sun, the aurora borealis. And I followed that calling about a year and a half ago, and I set foot in Oslo in the forest, and I felt like I'd come home again. And so I've been coming, like traveling around Scandinavia for the last year and a half now, giving the rebirthing work. Yeah.
The land's pretty powerful here in the north. I think Finland isn't geographically part of Scandinavia, as I'm sure you know, but you know, it's there's something very, very unique about the nature here. It's quite raw and very powerful.
Yes, and the people seem to be very connected with the land in general. A lot of people in Finland, I've noticed, have good knowledge of the plants, how you can use the plants for healing and to make remedies. So that's something that gets lost sometimes in the Western world. You know, skipped a few generations where we got too far from nature.
It's really actually an up-and-coming thing, you know, discovering and rediscovering that knowledge. Even in Helsinki, there are lots of courses about the herbs and what you can use for medicinal purposes and what can be used to prepare meals and things like that. So it's really good. You mentioned about free diving and how you read the book by Leonard R. Orr. But what actually is rebirthing? It sounds quite mysterious.
Yeah, and when you listen to the name, it can give you all kinds of ideas what it is. And what I will say now will just be also my interpretation of it. But it's a form of breath work. And basically, it's connecting the inhale with the exhale. So you remove the pauses. So normally when we take a breath, the average person is breathing in, breathing out. And there's normally a 1 second pause, average 1 second, where we hold the breath in between. And it's quite normal. There's nothing wrong with it. But with rebirthing breath work, we connect this breath, so we take out the pauses, and it becomes a more rounded, circular breathing, and it starts to move energy through the body. And that's the whole point of the session, you know, just to energize your body. And if there's some blockages, they will come to the surface. There'll be a resistance to this energetic flow in the body. Now, with the energy, there's a meridian system in Chinese medicine, and so the energy has these channels that it flows through the body. And when there's some kind of blockage there, it could be an emotional blockage. Emotional blockage would be a suppressed emotion. And it could be a mental blockage. And that would be sort of like a trauma has happened and you have a painful memories that get blocked out for protection. And you can have the physical blockages in the body. So physical blockages could be like an injury you've had. You know, maybe you've banged your elbow, for example. It gets swollen and there's a sort of a blockage there while it's healing. And you can have the chronic tension if you're doing a job where you're repeating the same motion all the time. So the idea is we energize the body and the energy streams and it brings to the surface these blockages to be looked at. And they can get released in many different ways in the session. Yeah.
So you mentioned traumatic experiences and just to follow up on that, do people actually remember those experiences in the session, or is it just that the emotion gets released?
So when an emotion is coming up, it can be that there's a memory attached to the emotion. So that if you get angry, for example, about something that happened, you remember why you got angry. But it's not always the case. Many people report to me that if they've had an emotion, strong one come up, they don't have any images and they didn't know why they were angry or they were sad or completely, they're laughing hysterically with joy. They just drop into this joyful state, but they don't know why. It's just coming naturally. So it can be both. And I feel like the body's very intelligent. And if you need to know why, then it will reveal itself to you. And if you don't need to know why, it's still processing on a level we don't always understand.
And we don't have to.
No, not necessarily. But the mind wants to understand.
Of course.
Yeah, that's the nature of the mind, I feel.
It is. Yeah. A constant inquiry and not always a helpful one.
Yeah, so sometimes it can get in the way.
Yeah, definitely. Let's listen to some more music that you've chosen for us this evening. And the next song is from Hawaii. And it's called Kanai Aupuni. And it's by Israel Kamakawiwoole. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Well, maybe I'm not the right person to ask, but...
So, what is it about this song, Paolo?
Well, I wasn't specifically looking for this song. I was looking for I have a favorite, which is Hawaii 78 by this artist, but most of his music is very deep. He's got a beautiful angelic voice, and it really can touch your heart. It makes me cry many times when I hear his music. And I really feel deep connection with his music because I had a deep healing with Hawaiian bodywork. It's a Lomi Lomi massage. And the therapist was playing his music continuous the whole time. And so it put me into my emotions very deeply. So I feel that this is also this kind of song. Yeah.
Kuuntelet vaiheessa ohjelmaa. Studiossa Mili Kaikkonen ja vieraana tänä iltana meillä on hengitysterapeutti Paolo da Floresta, kenen kanssa puhutaan Rebirthing-nimisestä hengitysterapiamenetelmästä ja elämästä muutenkin. Muistutan teitä, rakkaat kuuntelijat, että jos teillä on palautetta, ideoita asiaa ohjelmaan liittyen, niin voitte lähestyä mua osoitteessa vaiheessa @radiohelsinki.fi ja ohjelman Facebook-sivut löytyvät osoitteesta facebook.com/ollaanvaiheessa. Mutta palataan illan aiheeseen. Paolo da Floresta, we were just talking about rebirthing and what it is and how you discovered it. One thing you mentioned, and I actually read up on the method before we met, and it says that rebirthing is about breathing in energy, not only breathing in air. What does that mean? What is energy?
That's a very good question. Yeah. So in yoga in India, in the Himalayas where they study, they talk about this prana, and they talk about the nadis, and I think it's also in Chinese medicine. There's a meridian system which is running through the whole body. It's like this invisible to the human eye, these energy channels, and there's charts in Chinese medicine for the acupuncture. So this is a mystical kind of force that animates everything in the universe. You know, for example, you have a seed, and how it grows into this oak tree, it taps into this energy. So the information is encoded in the seed, and it somehow taps into this energy, and it uses it to grow. And there's also, like, this is the sexual energy as well. So this is what also is procreating. And people in Kung Fu, they tap into this energy, and they learn to channel it. And that's how you can have these guys that are breaking from 1 centimeter away a board of wood with a fist. You know, they have somehow tapped into this chi, this power. And so with rebirthing, we also consciously moving it with the breathing. The breathing is the pump, if you'd like, to move this energy through the body. And my teacher told me, Leonard Orr, that there's these sensors in the above the sinuses that are connected to the brain. It's called the olfactory bulb. And that is supposed to process prana, and it gives a feedback to the brain, backward and forward. So breathing this breath, we normally do it with a nose breathing. Because there's 2 types of rebirthing breathing. You have a nose breathing and a mouth breathing. And so generally the nose breathing is on a very, very subtle level. You are breathing, and it can take you into quite a deep state of consciousness. But when you're breathing with a mouth, it's a bigger opening. You're moving more energy. You're also moving more oxygen through your body. And you can get, like, sometimes overwhelmed by these sensations. And it can put you into a little bit stressful process. So generally, I recommend to breathe this with a nose when your nose is not blocked. So that's a more subtle way, and as the prana is processed. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, it's it sounds more gentle that way. And I think, to my knowledge, the breathing through the mouth can also be used to control heat in the body, for example. Mm. Pranayama can be used to cool down the body from the inside and things like that. So there are loads of things we can do with the breath if we're interested. You also mentioned earlier that in rebirthing, the aim is, if there is an aim, it's not a good word when you talk about something like this, but let's use it anyway. So the aim is to breathe without a pause. So the inhalation and exhalation follow each other without a pause. And I've been observing my breath since you said that. Yeah. And I realized that actually there is a gap between inhalation and exhalation. I never thought about that before, which is really interesting. In your experience, since you work with the breath, does it matter whether the inhalation or exhalation is longer than the other? And is there a meaning of some kind to that?
Yeah, I always like to do this breath work with people that I say to them, you know, you breathe at your own rhythm. So I don't like make it pushy that you have to breathe at a particular speed or anything like that. So what's coming naturally is the best way, because we want you to get into a mode of surrender within the session, so that eventually you surrender and instead of you breathing this breath, the breath begins to breathe you. So it takes over into some kind of automatic rhythm. So in that way, it's not important really the duration, the speed, anything like that, if one inhale or exhale is longer. So you just do what comes naturally, but you would begin the session, and we do a warm-up to practice this, but by first taking the pauses out and then seeing what there is with the breath. And a lot of people have different restrictions in their breathing. So if somebody is holding emotions in their stomach area, it can be a little bit shaky when you start to do this breath and you take the pauses out. And it can feel like that the heart starts to speed up a little bit. But that will calm down after you find your rhythm. And if we have been hurt, you know, and we protect our heart, we close there and it becomes very tight in this area. So we can have a lot of muscle tension up in the chest. And if we're doing this kind of jobs with computers where we are kind of got the turtleneck and we're hunched, that can also put a lot of tension in shoulder area. And then it's going to be more difficult to breathe deeply in chest. So we work with whatever breath we have, and hopefully it expands throughout the session. Yeah.
So what actually happens in the session? Of course, you can't sort of describe the entire thing here, but what's to be expected and how long does it last? How long does it take?
Yeah, so I'll give you a rough guide, you know, because every session is very individual. And also it depends if it's a private session, which I do, or sometimes I do these small groups of maybe 6 to 8 people. And they're going to be a little bit different. Of course, you're working not one-on-one and it's more sort of collective energy. Can you refresh me on that? I lost the track with
the
question.
So what happens in the session?
Yeah, so basically the first 45 minutes, I'm giving an introduction talk if it's the first time you do a session. So I explain everything and we get prepared. And we'll do a warm-up then. I'll show the breathing and I'll check how the breathing of the client is. And then we'll do the warm-up together, which is to bring your awareness more to your breath. And then you'll be laying down for the session, although it is possible to sit. But most people get backache after sitting for half an hour. And so it's normally like an hour and a half to 2 hours of breathing in a laid down position. And in that time, you know, you've got a freedom of expression and freedom of movement. So if any emotions are brought up or memories, you can express and share them with me, or you can let out screams and cries and laughter and whatever's coming. And you've also got the freedom to move your body in whatever intuitive way is coming. So there's a lot that can happen in that time. And then at the end, we slowly bring it to a close, and there's a nurturing time when you're normally covered with a blanket and sort of taken care of, rocked to sleep. And then if anything needs to be discussed afterwards, and we have a little sharing, and it might be that the person is just feeling like staying in a quiet space. And after we close it, I give them some guidelines how to sort of take care of themselves the next days, because this can open a lot in the body, this kind of work. That, you know, the next days you want to be taking care of yourself and be more mindful of the environments you put yourself in and give yourself a lot of love. And so, for example, if your inner child is asking for something like a chocolate, and give it without the guilt and enjoy, you know. So that's like giving the love, the self-love. So that's basically like the guidelines of what sessions would be like.
Sounds very powerful. Mm. Is it for everybody?
Well, generally, it's all around good for most people. But I've found that if it's like the youngest person I've worked with is 16 and the oldest was 91 and he had a broken rib. So that was, you know, we had to work in a very careful way because he'd had a fall and he still was moving energy, which was really good. Now, the 16-year-old was very good, but I find generally like teenagers will have trouble to stay present for a long period of time. If you've got to keep them breathing, their mind will, you know, they want to be focused on other stuff. And so if somebody has ADHD to a very high level, maybe it's difficult for them to stay focused and present. So that can be a very challenging session. But I have had people come with that. And if you've got some things like psychosis and stuff, it's okay to come, but you could be in for, it could be a rough ride in there. And if you've got epileptic fits, I'd be very, you know, epilepsy, I'd be very cautious. Pregnant people can come. We do it very gently with pregnant people, and much, very mindful how we, the position we're in and the breathing. We just take it very easy. I think the furthest pregnancy was 7 months. And another lady came to me, she had 3 months pregnant, and then she came up 5 months and 7 months. So it was really interesting to see how she was developing in that time, over a period of time. Yeah, so.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, it's really about complementing other things that people are doing. So for example, if you have mental health issues, it's to complement the treatment that you're already getting, not replacing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, if somebody has something like that, they would tell me about it. I would ask them at the beginning, and we would, proceed very cautiously, and there's no pushing in this. It's about feeling safe, and it's the most important thing. If you don't feel safe, you can't open up and you can't surrender to the process, and there'll be like this fighting mode that the body's in, and so then it's not an enjoyable experience. So the main thing is that to make the safe space for the person.
So rebirthing, of course, the word brings up all sorts of ideas, I think, and reading up on it, the websites do talk about birth and the importance of our first moments on this earth, and those are the source of of the way we breathe today. Could you tell us a bit more about that, the importance of birth?
Yeah, well, it's one of the most important events of our life, coming to this world, and I feel it's very important to be received and feel received and welcome. So the child is very conscious also in pre-birth. So they say that, if there's arguments in the environment with the mother, the child feels everything. It not only feeds the food in the body what the mother is giving, but it's feeling the outside external environment, perceiving it on a very subtle level. So if there's something like, if there's some doubt about the existence of the child, if it's an unwanted child, then there's some maybe dilemma on whether the child should be kept, the child will pick that up in the field. And in the same way, when the child is coming to this world, it will want to feel welcome, and it'll be an easier birth in that way. So if there's a lot of fear involved and tension, there's sometimes a tendency for the child to hold back, and then the birth can be a very long process, and then it can be an intervention at some stage by doctors, and sometimes it's fine, and other times they have a little bit maybe forceful techniques, and they feel it's in the interest to help, but sometimes the child feels more unsafe.
Yeah. It's really interesting because I gave birth to my son 6 months ago, and and I had a natural birth, so I had no pain relief because I don't want any, and apart from the breath, and and I think, well, when he was born, I felt like I had run 2 marathons in a row, and I was all shaky, and I was squatting on the floor, so. I couldn't hold him. He was given to me, but I said, I can't hold him because I'm going to drop him. All my muscles were just like trembling. And I said, I'm going to get on the bed, and then I'll hold him, I'll have him next to me. So there was that maybe 30 seconds when I said, I can't hold him. And it was just for his safety so that I wouldn't drop him because I was so weak. But this makes me think about how it can affect, for me, I was thinking about his safety. The doctors are thinking about the baby's safety. For the baby, the experience might be, oh, I'm not wanted.
Yeah, and could lead to abandonment issues, but I would not say in such a short time. But when it's more a longer period, so sometimes a child is put in an incubator for a day or two, and then there's that separation, and they can also lead to all kinds of conditions like claustrophobia, being in a confined environment. And so people have fear of being in an elevator after that. So that's it can have a great effect. But I feel like, if you communicate to your child on a psychic level, or even speaking when you're holding it, and you tell it that it's loved and welcome, and then there's you know, that's going to prevent the trauma from, there's a very deep connection between mother and child. So
rebirthing can actually help process and release these experiences that we have at birth.
Yeah, it can come up. So in my experience with this, when we do this breath work, we go into sometimes an altered state of consciousness, and we can access the cellular memory from the past when these blocks come up. So sometimes we're not aware of what this is, and other times we are, and we see images. So you can sometimes regress to a stage of childhood where you get the childhood memories of something that happened. It can be a pleasant memory or a traumatic memory. And people have talked to me about experiencing past lives in the sessions, but the glimpses of birth, and sometimes people feeling that experience of birth again, they're more rare. You know, if you get that in a session, if you sometimes can access that, it's a gift. It's really a gift. So it's more easier to access like childhood memories than it is to access the birth itself. But if you do experience that in a session, you can sometimes unlock these traumas. They come up to you and you understand why you feel this way. So there's that potential in the session to begin to heal. But it's more important like what you do after. If you get some information about yourself, it's the integration time. So after a session, you know. And if you're dealing with something very deep, you might want to come back for a few sessions and in between have a nice space of time where you just process what is brought up. So it's like any therapy, you know, things can get brought up and then you integrate them into your life.
So it's a process and there are different layers and levels to things, and probably it will not be ready as long as we're here because we're accumulating more stuff all the time.
Yeah, and we tend to drop into patterns sometimes as well. So like, you know, dysfunctional relationships and things like that. So it's good if we can find out why we are attracted to that. And so that can get unlocked in a session, but it's not something that it can definitely happen. You know, it just things come at the right time for you. So we're doing this kind of work, we're receiving a Reiki session, a massage, you know, even playing tennis, things can come up.
Well, anything can be a spiritual practice, I think.
Yeah.
Even playing tennis. Paolo da Floresta, let's listen to the next song you've chosen for us this evening. And it's Pink Floyd, one of my favorites. And of course, the song's called Breathe. Why this song?
Well, it's very powerful when I hear the opening sequence. They've got some very interesting melodies encoded into their music, Pink Floyd. And it really activates something very powerful within me when I hear it. But when I heard the opening lines, it's just like, in essence, what I'm doing, what I'm working with. Breathe in the air.
Kuuntelet vaiheessa ohjelmaa Radio Helsingin taajuudella. Olet ystävien seurassa. Studiossa Mili Kaikkonen ja vieraana hengitysterapeutti Paolo da Floresta, kenen kanssa puhutaan Rebirthing-nimisestä hengitysterapiamenetelmästä. Paolo, we were just discussing what happens in a rebirthing session and whether it is for everybody. And we talked about why birth is so important. And Leonard Orr, when I was reading up on him, he talks about birth and death a lot. But if we go back to breathing, there are lots of different aspects to our breath, physical, psychological, emotional, and spiritual. Would you like to share your views on these? What does it mean to breathe?
Yeah, well, breath is life. And, you know, that's the two things we are born with, is the physical body and the breath. And I feel that's all we need to unlock tensions and traumas in our body. So working with the breath can do so much, you know. And the prana itself, you know, that when it's moving through the body, it works on so many different levels. It's working on the physical level that you feel like a state of relaxation, physical relaxation in the body. You can also feel the tensions when they come up. And mentally, you know, that as you move the breath, thoughts start to move as well with that. So it's a certain thing about moving energy that it just moves things through the body. And emotions too. So sometimes we feel we're stuck in an emotion and it just feels like a big lump in our stomach, but we don't know what it is. It's a tension. And when you start doing this connected breathing, it can move that, and then it starts to get lighter in a way, and then it can make some shaking in the body, and that shaking can change into an emotion, an energy in motion. So that's my feelings on, it's very brief, but it's like my feelings on how the breath is, yeah, on different levels.
So do you feel like once the sort of physical and emotional and psychological stuff is sort of cleared out, or it's the process of clearing has started, so to speak, it makes us grow spiritually?
Yeah, I feel, what is it they say about the lotus flower? It grows best in the mud. You know, there's a saying about that, you know, we need some dirt in our life to bring up and this beautiful thing can
fertilizer.
Grow. Fertilizer, yeah. So, you know, by experiencing these things again, or even if we have challenging experiences in our life, we can learn from it and grow, you know. Even like we walk into these, maybe into a relationship that's not in our best interest, but afterwards, you know, after the time of closure, and maybe there's bad feelings afterwards, you can sometimes see on a higher perspective what good came out of the experience. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's good to process and experience the negative emotions connected to the event, but also try to let go, but not try to let go before you've actually processed those emotions. Am I making sense?
Yeah, you're making total sense. Yeah.
Because yeah, sometimes we want shortcuts, and we want to be so spiritual, we deny ourselves from completely natural emotions, which I don't think it's healthy for us.
Yeah, also it's like the journey's more important than the destination, really. So the whole experience, I mean, I feel you learn more when you experience. You know, you can read 1,000 books on spirituality, but you don't quite take in the understanding until you've experienced. And then it's like a click.
This is true.
And that's what life's about.
Yeah, yeah. We have about 5 minutes left. And one of the things that I'd like to talk to you about is holding space. Because that's what you essentially do in a session. You hold space for people to go through whatever they go through, and you act as a guide. You don't tell them, or you don't sort of validate their experiences. They do it themselves, but you are there to hold space and make it safe. What does that mean to you, holding space?
Yeah, well, the key element in a session would be, and in life generally, that if you feel safe, you can open up. So if you, for example, if you have a relationship with somebody, a friendship, and they do things that makes you doubt that you can trust them, you're not going to open up and spill out your whole heart and your life story to them until you feel safe. And it's in the same way in a session. It's important in the space holding that the person feels safe, that they can just be themselves. And so there should be no forcing in there. Like if you don't feel like breathing on the time, and you just need to lay there and sit in your space, it should be acceptable, and they should feel that. And in holding space, it's good to respect the boundaries of people. It's very important, because if you're too close to them or too far away, then they will also not feel safe. So safety is the key with space holding. And the whole goal of this is to surrender, let go.
Safety is important, and I think we can hold space for each other in everyday lives, in our everyday lives as well, because we often have the tendency to look for solutions, and sometimes there aren't any solutions. All we can do is be there, and I think as a therapist, you probably see this as well. One of the very important things is that sometimes you might see very clearly what's going on for your client or for the other person, but it's not your place to actually say that until they discover it themselves, if they ever do.
Yeah, and it's also it could be interpreted wrong as well. So it's good to just be a silent observer, and you know, suggest things from time to time if it would be helpful. But the main thing is just to hold the space, to just keep it safe, and let the person discover for themselves what's coming up.
Free of judgment.
Yeah.
Paolo da Floresta, we are running out of time. It's gone really quickly. But I'd like to ask you to tell our listeners how to find out more about you and your work, and when will you be back in Finland next, and what's going to happen?
Great. So this is my third time in Finland, and it's been an honor to be here again. I've been as far as Rovaniemi and Koli National Park and down in the south as well. And I'm intending to come back in October, the second half of October, for a couple of weeks. And I can be contacted by anyone in Finland or in Scandinavia, in Europe, all around the world at any time. You can see on my website my calendar. And when people contact me and show an interest, I'm very open to come to new places. So the website is www.rebirthinscandinavia.wordpress.com. And I have a second website, which is more an inspirational blog. I put kinds of recipes there, health tips, breathing techniques, exercises like the five Tibetans, they're all in there, and meditations. And you can find that on WordPress also. It's www.paolodafloresta.wordpress.com. And if anybody needs to email me, you can find my email address on the Scandinavian website. Also, it's Paolo da Floresta, PAOLODAFLORESTA @gmail.com.
So please contact Paolo if you're interested in rebirthing and if you'd like to invite him to Finland or book a session when he's next back.
Yeah, or even a workshop. You can easily form small groups in nice spaces. So,
is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners this evening before we wind down the session?
Yeah, just try to stay present and focus on your breath from time to time. If you feel stressed, it's nice to just focus on your breathing for a few moments. And that can take you out of your head and it can bring you back into your body. And the breath can be an anchor in the body. So, you know, if you just take a few minutes to connect your breath, the inhale and exhale, in a non-aggressive way, that can put you into your calm center. So that's a good way if, you know, somebody triggers you. So I wish everybody well and thank you for listening. And it'd be my honor to come back again in October.
Thank you. It's been lovely to talk to you and lovely to meet you. We have one more song you've chosen for us this evening, and it's called Blessed We Are, and it's by Peja. Why this song, Paolo da Floresta?
Oh, thank you. Well, this is a beautiful song to end, and Peja she's a singer of sacred songs, and she sings from many different themes, like the Native American Indian themes. I think she's singing some songs from the Irish tradition, and many, many more. And her songs have very deep and meaningful lyrics, and she has an angelic voice, and she's beautiful instruments in the music. And this song, it's like in the lyrics you will feel it. Remember, your life is sacred.
Yhteistyössä Viisas Elämä. Matka itseesi alkaa osoitteesta viisaselama.fi.